Sony is just consolidating all these parts, and once they start assembly, for whatever reason, the gaming press seems quite skeptical that Sony can crank out 4 million of those this year. We've just begun September, so 4 million would require 1 million a month. Sony probably manufactures somewhere between 5 and 10 million separate consumer electronics products per month. If you add in TVs and DVD players, you know, cell phones, PCs, I mean, they make, you know, audio systems. They do all sorts of stuff. They have tons and tons and tons of assembly capacity. So really, we shouldn't be looking at their ability to assemble. We should be looking at the individual component supply situation.
This is Rio Pacino for PodTech.net. The video game industry received some good news today. A new report by research analyst firm Wedbush Morgan Securities predicts video game sales to jump 3% for the combined U.S. and European markets. But not all is great in the gaming world. Wedbush Morgan lowered sales estimates for Sony's PlayStation 3. I had a chance to speak with WMS research analyst Michael Pachter about the report. Pachter touched on the perception that Sony won't be able to make enough PS3s in time for launch. He also spoke on the HD DVD Blu-ray war and the latest portable gaming rumors. Now, Michael, you guys just came out with a gaming report that predicts modest growth in the video game industry for 2006, but skyrocketing surges are expected for next year. Now, call this a wild guess, but I'm guessing that the impending release of the Sony PlayStation 3 and the Nintendo Wii contributes to the forecasted numbers?
Oh, definitely it contributes next year to the big growth. We actually lowered our forecast for the PS3 and very slightly raised our forecast for the Wii this year. And we swung from negative 3% to positive 3% growth. It really isn't the PS3 and the Wii. It's really the PS2 that has legs. And sell-through of PS2 software is much, much stronger year-to-date than I had expected. It looks like some of the bigger games coming out this year, like Madden Football on the PS2, are performing extremely well. We're not getting the normal drop-off that we would expect in anticipation of the PS3 launch. And so normally there'd be a gap between the drop-off in PS2 software sales and the lift from PS3 software sales. We're not seeing as much of a drop-off on PS2 as we'd expected.
That's pretty surprising, considering the fact that I'd assume that most gamers are actually, you know, holding back off of spending for games because of the impending release of both the PS3 and the Wii.
I think that's right, but I think that, you know, it really depends on how you define the constituency for software sales. If it's gamers, yeah, you're right. The guys who know they're getting a PS3 are holding off. I think that the masses that own PS2s are largely indifferent to the launch of the PS3. And I think that all of the speculation about shortages of PS3 supply have caused people to be far less concerned about whether they buy a PS2 game this year, because they know they're probably not getting a PS3 for another year. So rather than wait an additional year to play Madden Football, they're going to buy it this year on the PS2.
One of the more shocking parts of the report was the lowered expectations you guys put out for the PS3, as well as the PlayStation Portable. Can you break down those exact numbers in regards to the PS3 and the PSP?
Yeah. I took our estimates on the PS3 down for the U.S. and Europe by about 700,000 units, from 3 million to 2.3 million. And I have to admit, you know, I really don't have a basis for that. I don't really know what Sony's up to. Sony has repeatedly stated that they're going to ship this calendar year 4 million PS3s, and we had assumed that 75% of them would come to the U.S. and Europe and 25% would stay in Japan. I took that down by 25%. I took it from 4 million globally to 3 million globally and kept the same 75%, really based upon a lot of speculation coming out of Taiwan and Japan that Sony just hasn't lined up the assembly and the component supply to get 4 million units out. I think that's a prudent haircut, but I don't have a real basis for coming up with a real number. On the PSP, we had expected a price cut much earlier this year to something lower than $199 on an unbundled basis. The PSP came out a year ago, March, at $249 with a bundle, and then the PSP was unbundled so that you just buy the standalone device for $199 earlier this year. I thought it would come down to something like $149 on a standalone basis. So I had originally forecast a higher level of sales. So we took that estimate down by a little over 1 million units for the U.S., and that's about where it's tracking. We then took up our estimates on the Nintendo DS. I did not think that the DS was going to, lift as much as it did when the DS Lite launched, because I look at the DS Lite as largely just a substitute for the fatter DS. In fact, gamers seem to have really embraced this thinner, form factor. It looks something like an iPod. I mean, it's a little bigger. And for whatever reason, it's captured, consumers' imaginations. And Nintendo sold something like 800,000 or 900,000 in 2 months after the thing was launched. So I took my estimate up on that device by about 1.5 million, and that's a U.S.-European number. They've probably already gotten there. So I think that they're going to have no trouble hitting my numbers for the year.
Let's backtrack to the PS3. You mentioned the production factor. I know that Sony Computer Entertainment America President Kaz Hirais made some comments recently that production of the PS3 still hasn't even entered the production phase. Also, there's been news that the Blu-ray diode shortage, I guess, in regards to the Blu-ray technology, Sony, announced that they're not going to be including an HDMI cable in its PS3 package. Now, do you think that will also contribute to the dwindling numbers?
Okay, those are three different things. So the PS3, he said PS3 production, and honestly, I think that he either misspoke or he was misinterpreted. He really means PS3 assembly, because production, consists of each component in production and then final assembly of all the components as a, finished product. So I think that when he said that we haven't begun to produce, I think people took that to mean that there aren't any cell processors or any Blu-ray drives, and that is absolutely not true.
Okay.
We know that 200,000 motherboards are shipped in July. So they have at least the capacity to make 200,000 PS3s. And we know that cell processors are out there. We know that the NVIDIA graphics chipset has been in manufacture. And we know that the Blu-ray drives are in manufacture. So, I think that Sony is just, consolidating all these parts. And once they start assembly, for whatever reason, the gaming press seems quite skeptical that Sony can crank out 4 million of those this year. We've just begun September. So 4 million would require 1 million a month. Sony probably manufactures somewhere between 5 and 10 million separate consumer electronics products per month. If you add in TVs and DVD players, cell phones, PCs, I mean, they make, audio systems. They do all sorts of stuff. They have tons and tons and tons of assembly capacity. So really, we shouldn't be looking at their ability to assemble. We should be looking at the individual component supply situation, which leads to your second comment about Blu-ray diodes. I know nothing about a Blu-ray diode. I wouldn't know one if it hit me in the face. But again, we know that Samsung's been making Blu-ray drives since at least March, and we have to presume that Sony had the capacity to do the same. I think the reason Sony hasn't released a standalone Blu-ray player is that it's trying to make sure that it streamlines its manufacturing process and it dedicates every available Blu-ray drive to the PS3. I think that they want to maximize the production of the highest value box. PS3 has more value to Sony than does a standalone Blu-ray player, because you can sell the PS3 owner both video game software and movie software. So, I don't think this is an issue with Blu-ray drives, nor do I think it's an issue with cell processors. I think Sony's just trying to figure out exactly how many they can manufacture at a cost and deliver those at the appropriate cost. So I think, if I had to bet, I think Sony will stick with its 6 million unit forecast by the end of its March fiscal year throughout this Christmas. They may shift from 2 million at launch, 2 million more by December 31, and 2 million more by March 31, to something like 1 million at launch, 2 million by December, and 3 million by March. But they're going to stick with the 6 million unit number, I'm pretty sure of that. They may not deliver those, but we're not going to know that until April or May when they report their March fiscal year. And even then, they'll probably finesse the thing and say, life to date, we've shipped 7 million. They'll just come up with some number. So I don't really, and I don't think it matters at the end of the day. They're going to sell them as fast as they can make them, and nobody cares. Now, the HDMI cable issue, yes, I was surprised that they said they're not shipping a cable with the box. someone who is much more tech savvy than I told me that these cables cost $20 or $30. They are not cheap. And I don't own a 1080p monitor. I own a 720p monitor. And mine came with an HDMI cable. I have read that all 1080p monitors come with an HDMI cable. So if the monitor has the cable, I think Sony's just decided they don't need to ship that cable with the box, since most of the people who need the cable already have one. And if it costs $20, why give somebody a redundant cable? I don't know if that's true or not. I learned this just over the weekend, and I still have to do a little more work to figure out if it's true.
I know that's not true. I just purchased a 1080p TV this weekend. And
no cable?
No HDMI cable.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I read some statement from Sony saying that it came with, and I don't know. Of course, I have a Sony TV, so of course it came with a cable.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about the Microsoft Xbox 360. How did that fare in the report?
I've tweaked my estimate up by a couple hundred thousand, more out of a substitution, you know, for any shortfall of PS3s or anything else. They're doing fine. I mean, they're ramping the way that you would expect the second year to ramp. I have them selling 8 million in the calendar year, which is consistent with their goal to, you know, have sold 10 million by year end. And I think that they're, you know, 10 million cumulatively by year end. I think they get there.
What are your thoughts on the HD DVD player that Microsoft has announced is going to come out? Do you think that will sell successfully?
I don't. I think they're making the best of a bad situation. I mean, Microsoft made a decision to go first, and the price they paid for going first was that there was no high-definition DVD drive available for them to put in the box. So they have a box that runs a regular DVD, and it's going to be capacity constrained because the disc can only hold 7 gigabytes of information. It's not a capacity issue today. It may be an issue in 3 or 4 or 5 years. I don't think that most people who buy an Xbox 360 care about the box as a high-definition movie device, and they may or may not buy a standalone Blu-ray player. They may or may not buy a standalone HD player, an HD DVD peripheral, or they may buy a PS3. But I do disagree with Microsoft. People who own Xbox 360s care about high definition and care about high definition movies. Microsoft has bragged about how the 360 has been an impetus for high definition monitor sales. And if that's the case, I can tell you that there's 100% overlap of people who own high definition monitors and people who watch movies. And I can tell you there's 100% overlap of people with HD monitors who want more high definition content. I don't know that they're going to buy an HD DVD player peripheral, because that just adds an extra box under your television that is a suboptimal result. I mean, I'd rather buy a standalone player. Or, I mean, with the PS3, you know you're getting a fully integrated box that will play movies and games. So I think Microsoft's just behind in the HD battle, and again, by choice, because they went first before HD was ready.
I'm going to go ahead and play devil's advocate here. Those gamers who say, I'd rather have the option of purchasing a Blu-ray disc drive or an HD DVD player as opposed to having to buy a Blu-ray player with my PS3. Do you think with Sony not giving gamers a choice, that would shun away some gamers out there?
Anybody who is interested in high-definition content should be realistic about it. Blu-ray is going to win the war. The high-definition DVD player is going the way of Betamax, and 5 years from now, it will be a paperweight. And Sony is going to win this high-definition battle. And the studios are all going to embrace Blu-ray, and the reason for that is PS3 is going to outsell the Toshiba standalone HD DVD drive by a factor of probably 8 or 10 to 1. And the studios are going for max revenues. The retail community has no interest in supporting both formats. Walmart will not carry all these SKUs. They're not going to screw around with it. And the studios are going to end up embracing Blu-ray.
A standalone Blu-ray player is going to cost you anywhere from $900 to $1,000, whereas if you could get a PS3 as well as a Blu-ray player built in for, you know, half
bucks.
That cost, yeah, for $100 extra, why not do it, right?
And I think, like I said, there's a near 100% overlap of people who are buying a next-gen console, meaning PS3 or Xbox 360, and who either have an HD monitor or plan to buy one. There is 100% overlap of those people and movie watchers, and there is a 100% overlap of HD monitor owners who want more HD content, so Blu-ray makes sense. This is Sony's strategy. Sony went second because of Blu-ray, not because they couldn't get a box out to compete with the Xbox 360. They delayed a year because Blu-ray is more important to them than games. They're going to do fine with games. They may lose some share with games, but they're going to win this Blu-ray battle, and it's a much larger opportunity than games is for them.
I'd like to go ahead and talk more about the portable gaming market. Nintendo today announced that it's going to release an MP3 player adapter for the DS this fall. Also, Sony has announced recently about a camera add-on. Also, I think it was just hours ago, they talked about or announced the download service for the PSP as well. There are also rumors that Sony's going to come out with a redesigned PSP as well. In your opinion...
I think I started them, by the way. So you check it out. I said that Sony's going to have a hard drive in the PSP a year and a half ago.
Oh, well, you're the perfect person to talk to in regards to this then. Well, my question to you is, will Nintendo continue to have the stranglehold that they have on the portable gaming markets, or do you see Sony somehow, some way, maybe closing the gap with these recent announcements?
I think that consumers have these devices segmented in their minds. So I carry an iPod because I like listening to music at the gym. I carry a PSP or a DS because I like playing games on the train. And I don't know that I want to carry one device. I mean, we'll see. You know, it's been a real long time coming to get PDA phones. You know, to have the BlackBerry phone or a Trio that people really wanted to carry, because we still kind of segment those two things, you know, email, internet surfing, or those three things, and talking on the phone. I'm not sure that people who listen to music necessarily want to play games, and I'm not sure that people who play games necessarily want to listen to music. And I don't mean that there's zero overlap, but let's say the overlap is 25% of each. Well, I'm not going to pay more if I'm in the 75% for an iPod that plays games, and I'm not going to pay more if I'm in the 75% of gamers for a PSP that plays music. I don't care. So it's going to be hard to pass that cost along, and these hybrid devices are more likely than not to fail. I mean, you can offer it as a peripheral, which sounds like what Nintendo's doing, and that does make sense to me. I think that Sony's trying to turn the PSP into an all-encompassing entertainment device. Maybe that'll work, but, you know, look at the, I've already forgotten the name of it. What's the Microsoft product called? I'm blanking.
The Zune?
Yeah, the Zune. I mean, what is that? It's not a gaming device. Whatever it is, it's not gaming. And Microsoft, of all people, should be going after gaming there. They're not, because I think they recognize that these are discrete markets. So, you know, I'm really not convinced that anybody's going to care if Sony incorporates a hard drive into the PSP. But if they're more successful with the whole movie content thing on the PSP, and if they're more, you know, successful with the Sony Kinect music download service, maybe that'll make sense if they have this, you know, single device that's very seamless. And again, it really depends on the strategy of the PS3. If they're going to turn it into an entertainment hub and they can make the PSP interact with the PS3, then I think it has a chance. But, you know, it's going to take a while. They're trying to build something all at once, and these things evolve very, very slowly.
Last question for you, Michael. Come 2007, in your opinion, who comes out on top in the next-gen console war, and why?
Well, in 2007, Microsoft has a huge lead, and they'll still be in front. Sony won't catch them until probably mid-2009. I think the surprise is going to be Nintendo, mostly because of the price point and the fun factor. But I think what we're going to end up seeing by 2010, 2011, is market share split something like 40% Sony and 30 each Microsoft and Nintendo, and that's going to shock people. I think that there will be very little cross-ownership of Xbox 360 and PS3 and a lot of cross-ownership of those two devices and the Wii.
I think in the end, probably Sony will come out on top as well, just because of the fact of their history in regards to third-party support and Blu-ray technology as well.
If Blu-ray fails, Sony's not going to win this console war. If Blu-ray is not the standard and HD DVD is, Microsoft's going to win easily. But if Blu-ray is the standard, Sony's going to win. And I think Blu-ray will be the standard.
WMS is not the only market research firm conducting a survey on video game sales. NPD Group is expected to release their report this week, and the firm is predicting North American video game sales of $360 million, up 7% from last year. NPD is attributing the high number to the multi-platform release of EA Sports Madden 07 and the Nintendo DS's new Super Mario Brothers. This is Rio Pacino for PodTech.net. For more gaming news, go to our website at www.podtech.net.